We need to brief you on the federal budget, which is in play this morning. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll have the global perspective on business and economics in just a moment. But first to Washington, where the bipartisan budget deal that avoids a government shutdown gets a key vote in the Senate this morning, and it could pass the Senate as soon as tomorrow, giving Congress some breathing room to tackle big issues like entitlement reform and tax reform. At least that is how the thinking goes, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Paul Ryan said this budget deal demonstrated lawmakers could work together
to get our government functioning at its very basic levels.
Putting us one step closer to this, maybe.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya.
Maybe not.
I would not take this deal to mean that there's a sudden outbreak of kumbaya between Democrats and Republicans on the Hill.
Mark Peterson teaches public policy at UCLA. He says deep divisions didn't disappear, and there's a lot left to do. James Thurber is a poli-sci professor at American University.
They've done nothing really about the debt ceiling or debt or deficit.
There's no new farm bill, and on the agenda are immigration and tax reform. But before lawmakers can tackle any of that, they actually have to budget. This deal is only a framework. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
In a major shift in the way that medicine is marketed, GlaxoSmithKline said today it will no longer link the pay of its sales force to how many prescriptions doctors write, nor will the big pharmaceutical company pay doctors anymore to speak on the company's behalf. Drug companies have been under pressure for these practices for years. Today, the German parliament confirmed arguably the most powerful leader in Europe for a new term. Chancellor Angela Merkel has also opted to keep her stern finance minister, Wolfgang Schäuble, in place with global implications. The BBC's Steve Evans is in Berlin. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So polls show Chancellor Merkel has a very high popularity rating as she enters this new term. How did she pull this off? A year ago, with Europe a mess, people were not so fond of her.
They call her Mutti, the mother of the nation, and that's the way Germans feel about her. There's not much dissent here. And the measure of that approval was her large election victory, which means now she's been formally redeclared as chancellor over this new coalition government. She will be the top dog. She's the one in charge. Nobody doubts that.
So what does all this political capital that she's accumulated mean for the economy of Germany, therefore the economy of the rest of Europe?
It means keep on going the way Germany was going. The most significant change in the cabinet is the no change one, and that is the fact that Wolfgang Schäuble, her finance minister in the old government, remains her finance minister in the new government. And when Americans around President Obama and in the Treasury Department look at Germany and wag their fingers and say, why is it accumulating all that money from its exports but not spending anything to get the economy going? Schäuble's the man they're probably thinking about. So there's not going to be any great reflation of the German economy to get the European economy up to speed. The balanced budget rule will remain.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Marketplace is not some engulf and devour corporation. It is a nonprofit and it is listener supported. So to keep our coverage strong and relevant, what you could do is make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will really help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by the end of this year. This week, Marketplace is looking at the future of coal, the fuel that built industrial America. When you think of coal, what comes to mind? Appalachia? Soot? Climate change? If you ask tribal members on the Crow Reservation that question, they might say life. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner traveled to southeastern Montana to find out why the Crow are embracing this increasingly unfashionable fossil fuel.
Not far from the site of the Battle of the Little Bighorn, a coal train rumbles through the Crow Reservation. The tribe occupies over 2 million acres of grassy plains here. Underneath, there's coal, and the tribe depends on it.
As a matter of fact, about two-thirds of our budget comes from the mining of coal.
That's Darren Oldcoyote, the tribe's no-nonsense chairman.
If coal mining was to shut down here in Crow, we don't have no other source of revenue to come in. That's our bread and butter right now.
Not that coal has made the crow rich. Far from it. Unemployment here is near 50%. Multiple families share rundown houses and trailers. Only 100 or so of the tribe's 13,000 members actually have a job at the one coal mine here. Still,
this is home to me. I speak my language fluently, so this is home.
70-year-old tribal member Samson Burdenground is hopeful a new coal deal could boost the Crow's standard of living. Earlier this year, the tribe signed a lease and exploration agreement with Cloud Peak Energy to develop more coal than the U.S. burns in a single year. The Crow stand to gain millions, even if the company never digs up the coal. Burdenground says it's all about
revenue that we will get to help our tribe solve the unemployment rate.
I mean, but there are only so many mining jobs.
Yeah, that's true, but the income that will come to the tribe will support the administration, the executive branch, and they use the money to hire people.
Right now, though, coal's in the middle of a global glut. Prices are down, and it's not clear when or if Cloud Peak will actually end up mining Crow coal. One unemployed young man I met on the reservation scoffed at all the talk of coal and jobs. I grew up on the street all my life, he told me. And I haven't seen nothing. In Crow Agency, Montana, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Tomorrow on Marketplace, we head to Washington State, where a native tribe is actively fighting coal exports. And before we go, there's a piece of news this morning that reads like a parody of business news reporting, but it's our obligation to share. The private equity company KKR & Company is buying the specialty bond business KKR Financial Holdings. Yes, KKR is buying KKR. For $2.6 billion. That's like my friend Lewinsky dating someone named Levinsky. True story. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.